Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. Pledge of Allegiance, Mr. Frank Crawford.
Please rise. Raise your front. Put your hand over your heart and follow me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, public comments. We have no public comment cards. Buildings and Grounds Department, contract correction with George Roofing for MHS. Do we have any information on that?
Yes, it's kind of a little bit of a goof. Remember, in late May, we brought you a whole bunch of contracts we were doing, and one was transcribed so that the amount we asked for was not reflective of what was actually in the contract. And so you approved 5,164, which was in the written language, our mistake. The actual contract is for the 6,400. So because we have a lower number, we needed to come back to the board and ask you to correct the mistake that we made.
Thank you, Mr. Hodson. Is there any other questions or discussion? If not, we'll take a motion. We have a motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Seven yes.
Why don't we just announce the action and then ask if there's questions so they don't have to do reports because not everybody's here.
Okay. Nutrition Services, agreement with Chef Ann Foundations for Get Schools Cooking 2018 cohort. Ms. Watson?
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me. This item is to accept the award for the Get Schools Cooking grant. Pretty excited that we were selected for this award. We were picked one of four districts out of the nation to get awarded. And it was pretty competitive application process, and it involved a video conference that Mike was in, as well as two additional managers with my team. And we don't actually get any like real hard cash to start off, but we get services provided from the Chef Ann Foundation to assess our current processes and facilities, and then look at the potential, and they give us some suggestions that to implement, and then they help us implement those over a three-year process. And if we do well with all that, then we could apply for $50,000 in the third year to be able to have fun with as well. So the grant is valued at approximately $160,000 in services, but we don't actually get that money. We get their support. So pretty excited. It is a three-year commitment as well.
Did you say there was only four people that got that?
Four school districts nationwide. Yeah.
So, excuse me, Mr. Fleury, could you turn your mic on, please?
Were you the only one in California?
I actually don't know who the other three are. I should ask, actually, or they have a blog, yeah. So I'll try to look on the blog and see, it was announced on there, maybe I can share it, if we have a way of doing that. Yeah. Okay.
So Amber, one of the thoughts that I had was, so we're going to be preparing more food at sites. Mm-hmm. Are the kitchens at most of our sites able to do that? Are we set up good, you know, well enough to do that?
We actually are. We are already doing what we call half scratch or speed scratch operation, where we cook some things there on site. We make some things full scratch, like our pizza operation. We make the dough and everything. We do kind of a combo of ready to serve items and scratch items. The biggest challenge is kids really like those ready to serve items, like hamburgers and hot dogs and chicken nuggets. So where this company can come in and help us is looking at maybe using raw products like raw meat and making our hamburgers ourselves, or using sauces and seasonings to help enhance our flavors. I think marketing was the other thing we kind of highlighted, that we don't do really well with marketing what we do. We make lasagna, and that's from scratch, but kids don't know that it's made from scratch. So.
No, it sounds like a wonderful idea. Thank you for researching that and moving forward on it. Any other questions? We'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays? Seven yes. Board of Trustees, number one, resolution 2017-18/27, calling for full and fair funding of California's public schools. Do we have any discussion? That was the item we talked about before. No discussion. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Seven yes. Personnel Services. Number one, MUTA and AMACE disclosure statements. Do we have a discussion? Mr. Carrion?
Thank you, and good evening to all. This is simply an opportunity to cure an omission from our request in previous agenda items to approve tentative agreements. We normally have this as accompanying information to satisfy AB 1200 regulations. Again, we're not in any compliance issue or facing a compliance issue. We just simply want to cure an omission by bringing this information forward.
Thank you, Mr. Carrion. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Seven yes. Personnel Services number two, tentative agreement with supervisory unit. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, in like fashion as with AMACE and MUTA, the other bargaining groups quickly lined up. And as you see with the lineup of tentative agreements tonight, the first one with the supervisory unit to be receiving a retroactive payment of 5.0% effective 7/1/2017, and to be structured in a way that includes a 3.0% increase to salary schedules and a 2.0% one-time off-schedule payment, and recommend the board approve this tentative agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Carrion. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Seven yes. So can you turn your mic on, Mr. Allison? You're done talking, okay. So number three, Personnel Services, tentative agreement with operating engineers, local number three. So I think it's probably the same thing that you had discussed earlier, Mr. Carrion.
Yes, indeed. The terms of the agreement are the same. Of course, the only difference is that this is a PERB recognized group, which required an official ratification of his membership, and OE3 quickly undertook the ratification process and it passed.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? No nays. Seven yes. Okay, number four, tentative agreement with CSEA number 326. Again, I think it's pretty straightforward, right, Mr. Carrion?
Yes, indeed. Thank you, sir.
Okay, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Seven yes. Number five, tentative agreement with CSEA number 648. Again, I think we've heard the information. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Crawford. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? No nays. Seven yes. Wage increases for unrepresented represented employees. Again, right along with what we've been talking about. Is there any questions? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Crawford to approve. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Seven yes. Contracts with the Board of Regents of the University of Idaho for athletic training programs at LHS and Marysville High School. Do it.
Yeah, if I may, this is a pretty exciting opportunity. Some of you may have heard that we've been searching for athletic trainers for both Marysville High School and Lyndhurst for the course of 2 years now, and ultimately the LCAP process has provided for funds. This is a neat opportunity to have two doctoral program students create programs for us that will also enable the University of Idaho to send mentees. These two young men, one a local product, will have under their tutelage and under their mentorship master's program students who will also be working the sidelines and with an emphasis on preventative care and teaching coaches how to better prepare athletes in terms of course, safety, but also strength training, conditioning, and above all, establishing a system of care, if you will, with preventative care concepts in mind. So it's a neat opportunity for them to come aboard. Yes, they're going to benefit. The two young men are going to benefit by being paid to be doctoral students, but their research will be mobile and they will be housed out of Marysville and Lyndhurst. After speaking to a couple other athletic trainers and physical therapists in the area, they're just astonished that we got selected, if you will, and we're fortunate enough to bring these two gentlemen our way to create this program. So it's a neat opportunity for us to finally put something in place.
Yeah. So, Mr. Karen, will we set up training rooms at both the high schools then for them to have facilities to?
We will. There are. That's going to be moving here a little quicker than we'd like it to. By that I mean because with summer trainings in place for football teams and fall sports, these two guys are actually going to start on their own in July, even though their doctoral programs don't kick in until September. But they're going to be migrating this way and assisting us in putting together what resources we have now and creating the foundation, if you will, for an effective program.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for both the high schools. And the with that kind of support, it really ups your game. I mean, the athletic programs will just get that much better. If you've ever been a college athlete or a coach college, you understand what trainers really do. And it's a huge thing, it really is. It's a big part of athletics that you're doing the proper training, the proper strength training, and not doing things too early to these kids that are detrimental to them later in life. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, great opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Carrion.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
So, Mr. Carrion, will it be minimal supervision from some person at the site that will have to kind of oversee these students?
These students actually are authorized through this MOU, through this agreement. But we're still required to have certified medical professionals on the sideline. So that's not by any means to say that they will supersede them. But their role is really more about student athlete safety throughout the entire season, throughout the programs, while ensuring that various protocols are followed. But yes, they will be on the sidelines There will be at practices, there will be at training sessions, there will be at weight training sessions. And the beauty of this is through this agreement that we'll have other students attending the University of Idaho to be assigned under their leadership and under their supervision to assist in this as well.
So who would they, maybe I didn't form my question quite right, but who would they report to at the school site?
Well, officially they'll still report to the principal because they're being assigned to each of the schools.
Right.
They will fall under the previous approved item as unrepresented employees, but they too will be technically have a supervisor. I will assist as well in supervising them. But ultimately, it will be the high school principals who handle the day-to-day.
I concur with Mr. Boom. I think this is a great opportunity for both of our high schools, so thank you.
Yeah.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Crawford to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Seven yes. Personnel Services number 8, Resolution 2017-18/28, Reduced Workload Program. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, thank you again. The Reduced Workload Program, affectionately known as the Willie Brown Act, outlines for a certificate employee to receive full-time service credit, although not working full-time. They must work at least 50%, but in agreement with the district, and if approved, that employee would pay his or her full share of retirement contributions. In turn, the district would pay its full share as if the employee was fully employed. In this particular case, Ms. Brown Brokenbrough would work 75% if approved, as she transitions into retirement while contributing her employee-paid full contribution, and the district, if approved, would pay its full-time contribution. As far as the expense to MCAA, who would cover this, it's a net they're not gonna pay anything above and beyond what they would have plan to pay if she was employed full-time. But it's an opportunity for her to transition into retirement in a year or two and ultimately receive full-time service credit under the Ed Code requirement in the CalSTRS program.
Mr. Carrion, is this common practice for our district?
It's not very common at all, at least not in our tenure here under Dr. Todd's leadership. We've had this come to the board, before the board, maybe 3 times. And on one occasion it was denied, on another occasion it was approved that I recall.
Thank you. Any other questions or? If not, is there a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Ms. Scott. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. I would like to see a raise of hands for all of this ones saying yes. So it looks like there's 5 yes. Any no's? 2 no's. Mr. Crawford, Mr. Rasmussen, no. Number 9, we have certificated employment. Mr. Derek Morrison, Assistant Principal at Kynoch. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Can I just ask before we I'd like to know.
Has he been a previous employee of our school district, or is he coming from another district?
Ask again, please. I'm sorry, I missed most of that.
Mr. Morrison, is he a employee of our school district?
He is not. He's coming in from another district. He was recommended by a panel of teachers at Kynoch, and that panel of teachers recommended him over some others that were interviewed that particular day. And so it was a unanimous decision by the panel of teachers, one representing each of the grade levels, to nominate and recommend Mr. Morrison as their next assistant principal.
Thank you.
So we had a motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Do we have a second?
Second
by Ms. Scott. Is there any further discussion? Nope. Well, all in favor say yes?
Aye.
Or aye? Is that seven? Any nays?
Nay.
We had six yes, one no. Mr. Crawford. Okay, moving along. Superintendent, we're going to hold a public hearing for the district LCAP. Dr. Todd?
As opposed to the past 4 years, tonight's presentation is very simple. We are going to continue to do everything we have stated in our LCAP plan since its inception, and we are adding the following items that are listed on the LCAP sheet that I just passed out to you. Those items are not new items. They are increased services and continuing of programs that we currently have. So the teacher development specialist will still be the individual, an individual who will be working with our new teachers. We're adding to our music program by one teacher, which also means Marysville High School needs some musical instruments for which those students are going to be able to play. Our career technical education program is now zeroed out from the Tri-County program, so we now need to pick up all of those expenses. So you'll see transportation and the increase to the program itself. We did have, and you just approved, a number of units and their salary increases. It's a 3% salary increase and a 2% one-time off-schedule payment to all bargaining units. We are adding, because we do now have enough students and we can, within the formula with CDE, add an additional assistant principal, which will be half-time at Arboga and half-time at Olivehurst Elementary. We are going to increase the counseling staff by a half at Foothill, so they will now have a full-time counselor at Foothill Intermediate, and another half at Community Day School, which will now bring them to one full-time position. As the board had expressed a desire, we are increasing the routine maintenance fund, and the homeless transportation costs have gone up, and so unfortunately we continue to have more and more students that qualify for that program, and one of the requirements is that we pick them up no matter where they are and we transport them to their school of residence. So those are the items. As I said, there's nothing new there. It's just a continuation or an addition of funding to keep what we already have going moving forward and fully funded for next year. This is for 18-19.
I would just like to thank Ms. Tate and Dr. Todd yesterday for our meeting to try to go through the LCAP. We got to bond for a good hour or so. Yeah. Is there any other discussion? I need a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close.
Motion by Mr. Fleury to close the public hearing. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Seven yes. Public number two, public hearing for the MCAA LCAP. We're going to open the public hearing. Is there discussion? With no discussion, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion
by Mr. Davis to close the public hearing. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Seven yes. Business services. The public hearing for the 2018-2019 proposed adopted budget. We're opening the public hearing. Mr. Hodson.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As promised, I have shortened this considerably from prior years. I think I'll hit the wave tops. Most of this will be information that we've also pulled out and put in the executive summary that you'll find at the very beginning of the proposed budget.
And before I get started, I'd like to really just point out, I get the honor of presenting this budget to you, but really all the heavy lifting is done by Jen and her folks. There's 215 pages worth of individual numbers in here, and that is a tremendous amount of work. While we're in the middle of, you know, trying to close out the year, and while we have the governor's budget that becomes the May revise that becomes the legislative approved budget, it's a tremendous amount of work, and she and her folks really just do a phenomenal job, and I'm glad to be associated with them. So I'm just going to hit some of the high points here. The key thing, both to start and to end this presentation, is that the district is in good fiscal health. And that's really the theme that we're going to present to you today, that we have some decisions to make and we have some challenges for sure, but by and large, the district is in good health, and that is not something we should take for granted. I attribute a lot of that to some work done around here in a lot of great ways, both at the sites and even inside the district. Our ability to do position control, Romero keeps a tighter grip on employing folks and FTEs than I think any other district. And that if you're going to make a mistake in district funding, it's typically in manpower, and it does a really good job of that. So that too makes my job very easy. The next thing I'll tell you is that in this presentation, this is already outdated. Remember, this is based on the May revision that the governor proposes, and unlike prior years, the legislators have sort of disregarded to some extent the governor's guidance. So this is briefed based on what the May revise was, and I'll talk through what I expect those changes to be. But I don't see any real crises coming in the next few years. The key thing, and actually let me go back to one other thing I want to talk about there. What we are going to see in the new actual budget is that the ongoing money that we're going to get will be a little bit higher, but we're going to lose money in the first year on the one-time. It's about $1.5 million less in one-time money, but about $750,000 per year in ongoing. So as a wash, I think that's better to have that LCFF for a number of reasons. We'll talk about that. The other really interesting thing about this budget is that they have recertified Prop 98-4, and they haven't done that in about 10 years. And that's huge, because should the economy start to turn south again, we have re-benchmarked what the Prop 98 guarantee is, and so that will be the new floor going forward. And we may not get that money in any individual year, but that will become the target that they were obligated to get us back to, if that makes sense. Okay, so a year ago, we were looking at the governor's budget from June of 17. We were expected to fully fund LCFF in 2021. Revenues have increased even beyond the governor's expectations last year, and so LCFF will be fully funded. That is a good story, except that, remember that now that we're there, you run a race, you cross the finish line, you don't keep accelerating, we are now gonna plateau. So that's both good news and bad. And then going forward, we expect to basically just get our COLAs in the future years. Here's a look at the future revenues and expenses. And let me go just to a couple things I want to highlight on here. It's interesting, if you look at the 1920 COLA raise, 2.6%, okay, that's great, except that in their own guidance, the state expects that inflation, as measured by the CPI, will be about 3.4%. So already, we are programming to get less money than what we would need to keep pace with inflation. You can see that PERS and STIRS, which don't really do anyone any good in terms of take-home money in your pocketbook, are going to go up by 1.85 and 2.74% respectively. That's about $1.3 million a year in a bill that we aren't getting any additional revenue for that will come off the top. The other thing you can see there, if you look at your mandated cost per ADA, you look at lottery money, the like, that's expected to be flat going forward. So again, in good health, but we got to remember that these years, probably 6 years in a row now of significant year-over-year revenue increases, those times are gone and we'll plateau here. Okay, so the budget summary, looking at 17-18, our current year, how we expect to close out, and looking into 18-19. You'll see a small deficit this year. That was by design. We talked about that even when I first got here. That was some money that didn't get spent last year, salary raises for one, and a couple other, some projects that we ended up doing in the current year that we thought were going to be last year. So that's last year's money that we spent this year, and it reflects as a deficit.
A couple of changes that are worth noting here, and I'll talk in more detail about this later, but the first one is actually the second bullet there. You'll see the increased RRMA. That's a routine restricted maintenance account. That's based on the board's guidance, and as the superintendent just mentioned, in the LCAP. The other one is we're recommending taking $1 million a year, and we've laid that in the future years as well, and we'll transfer that to Fund 17, and we'll apply that towards our COP payments that we have talked about previously, and we'll talk about that more here at the end. Looking at the multi-year projections, there's a couple of assumptions here that are important, and the state is basing our revenue, the funding under Prop 98, as a percentage of their own revenue, and they're expecting revenues to go up by 4% in each of the next several years. It is interesting to note that as of early this morning, the May figures came in, and we are about $65 million below the governor's projections for the year to date. Some of that is due to the change of behavior with the Trump tax cuts. A lot of people took advantage and tried to prepay property taxes and those kinds of things in the end of last year, so some of that'll be behavioral. And it's a $215 billion total expected revenue at this point. So $65 million isn't tremendous, but this is the first time in a long time that revenues are actually under what the governor's projections were. So just something to keep in mind going forward. Here are the multi-year projections. I have highlighted the real key point I'd like to bring out there is that, you know, how do we look year in and year out? As I mentioned beginning this presentation, these numbers are outdated. So if I roughly $1.5 million less in one-time money, but $750,000 more in ongoing LCFF, what you would see is about $750,000 less in the 18-19 year, which is fine. We had a significant surplus going into this year. And then in 19-20 and 2021, those numbers would then each be roughly increased by that same amount. And so you would see a surplus in 19-20, and 2021 would then show roughly breaking even. Again, these are rough projections in terms of we just don't have a crystal ball. So they're not rough. They're down to two decimal places if you ask Jen. But we recognize that when reality hits, it'll be something different. I mentioned reasons for caution, and we are not, not all districts are in as good a fiscal shape as we are. This is going back for the first interim last year. You can see it's a little bit of an eye chart, but there's four districts that were negatively certified, saying they are in receivership. They did not expect to be able to pay their bills for the current and the subsequent 2 years. And then there's another, whatever that is, 20 or so districts, some of them not too far from us, that are they submitted qualified certifications, meaning they can't guarantee that they're going to be able to stay solvent for the next few years. We are not in that spot, but it is something to be aware of that as times get a little leaner, as revenue starts to plateau, there's, I think, a lot of districts who have painted themselves into a corner from which they cannot get out. And that's dialogue amongst my counterparts at other districts that I hear quite a bit. Here are some other fund summaries. We focus a lot on the general fund, but there are also a number of other funds in which we spend a lot of time. You'll notice, again, the special reserves, that's the $1 million in Fund 17, and I'm going to talk about that here in one slide. So if the board remembers, we've got about $32 million of COPs that would become due, or more accurately callable, in 2022. We don't have to pay off all $32 million at once. We could begin servicing that debt for the next 20 years at about $2.8 million a year. That's okay, but if you go back to our current budget, if we were to take $2.8 million out of this budget, that would definitely require us to take some pretty dramatic action. And nobody wants to do that. And so we've asked or proposed in this budget to put $1 million a year over into Fund 17. That doesn't change it. Fund 17 is essentially an extension of the reserve. And for purposes of accounting, for purposes of the reserve caps, it all applies. It just sets it off to the side, and so we have a place for it. We are looking at a couple of other options of where we could take those resources, both what we're transferring and maybe even some of our current reserve, and put that into one of a number of stabilization accounts. There's PARS, which is a private company, and they would be good, and we had an interesting presentation from them, but they charge us fees that I think doesn't make the risk worthwhile. CalPERS has a program, and that would be good, except that they only allow you to invest in an OPEB liability, and we don't spend that much money on OPEB. And so we could only, once you dedicate that money into that fund, you can only get it back for the purpose for which you reserved it. And so I think OPEB's about $900,000 a year or so. So if we needed it, we couldn't get $8 million, $32 million all at once. We could only do $900,000 a year, and that's a little too constraining, too. CalPERS is seeking approval from the legislature to allow them to do a retirement liability, and that would be significantly more, about $3 million a year. And so that may be an option. So we're exploring those. But in the meantime, we'll talk about doing Fund 17. So again, the highlights, as I started with, and I don't want to be the bearer of be all doom and gloom. We are in a good spot. It's a nice problem to have. We're well positioned compared to our peers. We do have some risks with state revenues, with our own enrollment, and a huge backlog of needs throughout the district. And so we're kind of right in the middle, which is a nice place to be. And then we'll continue to update this budget. This is our budget. Looking through a very fuzzy crystal ball. As I told you, it's already outdated. We'll be back again at unaudited actuals, where we'll know with more fidelity how we closed out this year. And we'll also be able to then, between unaudited actuals and first and second interim, then continue to refine a budget and keep the board apprised of our progress and our plans. And so with that, any questions?
Thank you very much, Mr. Hodson. Is there any other discussion or question? If not, we'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close.
Motion to close the public hearing by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Seven yes. Go ahead, Dr. Todd.
Board members, I'd like to ask you to leave your two LCAP documents and the draft budget proposal at your place, and you will get a brand new copy that does not have draft on it for your perusal and sleeping material at the next meeting. So thank you.
Anything else? Meeting adjourned.
Yeah, those three.